Welcome to the Meb Faber Show, where the focus is on helping you grow and preserve your wealth. Join us as we discuss the craft of investing and uncover new ideas, all to help you grow wealthier and wiser. Better investing starts here.
Meb Faber is the co-founder and chief investment officer at Cambria Investment Management. All opinions expressed by podcast participants are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Cambria Investment Management or its affiliates.
Howdy, friends. We have a little bit of a different show for you today. Over the past decade, we've made an effort to educate our clients and investors, now over 60,000 strong, by publishing research and commentaries across the blog, academic papers, books, speeches, now in the more modern social world, Twitter, YouTube, and this podcast. However, we still get many great questions every day about our funds, many of which are broadly similar, so we wanted to try and use this platform to help educate shareholders as much as possible. Sometimes the spoken word provides a little more context and narrative than just an academic paper or fact sheet. And as always, the most important thing in investing is finding an approach that works for you, which may or may not involve any of our funds, which is totally fine. We just want our shareholders to be as informed as possible in what they're invested in. So enough intro. Please enjoy today's episode in our series of Fund Profiles. Hey, friends, today we have a special episode in which I'm going to be talking about one of my oldest and favorite approaches to the market, which centers around something called shareholder yield. As part of this discussion, we'll talk about three Cambria funds, which we engineered with this shareholder yield approach as their centerpiece. There's a lot to discuss, so let's jump right in. Let me start this with a question. What's your approach to the markets today? On one hand, in its April 2021 FOMC statement, the Federal Reserve reiterated its stance of accommodative monetary policy. That translates to the expectation that interest rates will remain low for the foreseeable future, a challenge for anyone trying to navigate fixed income markets in search of income. On the other hand, U.S. stocks have been pushing higher since their lows back in 2020, with valuations expanding to historically high levels along with them, a challenge for investors seeking reasonable valuations. Regular podcast listeners and readers of my blog know that one of my favorite valuation metrics is the Shiller PE ratio, also called the CAPE ratio, which stands for the 10-year cyclically adjusted price to earnings ratio. I'll put a link in our show notes, but if we look at the S&P 500 index current CAPE reading at the time of this recording, you'll see it's one of the highest readings in the past 150 years. Similar periods of overvaluation were during the Depression and the dot-com bubble at the turn of the millennia. So, put historically low interest rates together with historically high valuations, and investors face a tough question. How do you find an investment that offers potential for income and growth that's not burdened with nosebleed valuations? And let's just speak candidly about the potential trade-off in an investor's portfolio. On one hand, if you invest today, you run the risk of a steep drop in the stock market, such as we saw in February and March of last year. But if you stay on the sidelines and the market continues to grind higher, your return is zero. Is there an answer? Although admittedly harder to find, we believe income and growth are still possible, even in this market. Now, before we get into the specifics of our shareholder yield strategy, let's dig a bit deeper into today's market environment, because I believe it points toward how a shareholder yield strategy can help investors. It was in early June 2020 that the Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell warned that the U.S. faces a long road to recovery. The policy forecast released by Powell and the Fed showed target rates remaining pegged at 0 to 0.25% until the end of 2022. This creates a challenge for investors who need income. Meanwhile, after a year that included a global pandemic, economic woes, a greater than 30% drop in the S&P 500 index, the market has roared back and taken the Shiller PE ratio of the S&P 500 index to over 36 as the end of April 2021, which makes it one of the most expensive markets in the last 150 years by this measure. Not quite as high as 1999 when it hit 45, but still expensive. Low yields and high valuations leave investors in a terrible position. What else is there to do? You may have heard of the TINA trade, which stands for There Is No Alternative. It suggests there's no good investment alternative to the stock market today, and unfortunately, that's how many investors feel right now. Well, I believe it can help to stop looking at the market as one unified monolith that rises or falls in unison and see it for what it is, thousands of individual stocks and businesses that offer varying risk-reward profiles. And it's from this more granular perspective, we can begin to look for stocks characterized by traits that I believe align with a powerful market approach, shareholder yield. For those unfamiliar, a shareholder yield strategy is intended to help investors get exposure to quality value stocks that have returned the most cash to shareholders via dividends and buybacks relative to the rest of the comparable stock universe. So let's break this down a bit. Starting with dividend yields, our shareholder yield ETFs, which we have three, and I'll discuss in more detail shortly, all reported 30-day SEC yields in line or even greater than that of the respective Morningstar categories, even though our funds don't target dividends in isolation. In the show notes, I'll link to the white papers that will compare the yields of our respective shareholder yield ETFs with their categories and benchmarks. To illustrate here in the podcast, though, take our Cambria shareholder yield ETF with the ticker symbol SYLD. It offered a 30-day SEC yield of 1.39% as of April 30th, 2021. The Morningstar mid-cap value category offered a 30-day SEC yield of just 0.88%. But dividend yield is just the beginning. Remember, we've engineered our shareholder yield ETFs to reflect total cash distributions to investors from both dividends and net buybacks. Now, when management rewards investors with buybacks, we wouldn't clearly see that value transfer reflected in the dividend yield. Therefore, while our shareholder yield ETFs have similar or higher 30-day SEC yields relative to Morningstar categories currently, we shouldn't necessarily expect our funds to be leading this category. But from this added perspective, which includes buybacks, investors suddenly have a strategy that goes beyond dividends and can offer a far more complete way of looking at a potential investment. So a few quick words about buybacks for any listeners who are less familiar with their benefit to investors. Without getting too much into detail, corporate share buybacks can be an effective way for managers to return profits to shareholders, similar to dividends, yet without triggering the taxable event that occurs with dividends. This means shareholders are receiving value, but it's subtler, generally camouflaged in the asset's market price rather than the obvious dividend payment that appears in your brokerage account one day. But that doesn't mean the value is not there. It's just in a different form. And at the end of the day, wouldn't you prefer the highest total return possible, regardless of the source of that return? And of all you Warren Buffett fans may recall his stance on buybacks from his 1984 letter to Berkshire Hathaway shareholders, which read, "When companies with outstanding businesses and comfortable financial positions find their shares selling far below intrinsic value in the marketplace, no alternative action can benefit shareholders as surely as repurchases." End of the quote. The key phrase for buybacks here is intrinsic value. If you're an overconfident CEO buying back overvalued shares, then you're destroying value. In such a case, an objection to including buybacks would be valid. Buybacks would indeed be a detriment to total return. But when a wise CEO buys back shares at great valuations that are below intrinsic value, to paraphrase Buffett's quote, "No alternative action benefits shareholders as surely as repurchases." Now, when we combine dividend yields with buyback yields, we get a clear picture of total return to shareholders. Again, I'll point you to our white papers, in which we link to this in the show notes, mebfaber.com/podcast, so you can read all the details. But to illustrate the power of combining yields, let's turn our attention back to the Cambria Shareholder Yield ETF, SYLD. Since inception through the end of April 2021, SYLD has returned 215.22% on a cumulative basis. In comparison, the Morningstar Midcap Value category returned just 117.93% over the same period. We believe that's a powerful illustration of the benefit of combining both yields. Now, early in the podcast, we talked about lofty valuations. One of the basic tenets of investing is that all else being equal, the less you pay for an investment, the better your future return should be. By that logic, the better the value at which we can purchase quality assets, the better position we should be for the potential of increased returns going forward. From February 19, 2020 to March 23, 2020, the S&P 500 endured the quickest fall from all-time highs to bear market ever. In just 23 trading days, the index fell 33%. Ouch. Our suite of shareholder yield ETFs weren't immune to the market sell-off, of course. Over the same period, SYLD fell 44%. Our foreign version, FYLD, 40%, and EYLD, our emerging markets, fell 36%. Of course, since those late March 2020 lows until the end of April 2021, on a cumulative basis, the funds were up 189%, 106%, and 105% respectively, while the S&P 500 index was up 90%. Even better, each of the funds in the YLD suite trade at attractive valuations currently. So where do our shareholder yield ETFs shape up on the valuation compared to their benchmark categories? Let's answer that by first looking at SYLD once again. In our initial white paper that explored our shareholder yield strategy, we compared SYLD to its respective Morningstar category on five valuation metrics: price to earnings, price to book value, price to sales, price to cash flow, and price to free cash flow. We're incredibly proud to report that as the end of April 2021, SYLD offered a lower valuation than its Morningstar category in every single metric. For price to earnings, SYLD's multiple was 13.99. The category was 20.41. For price to book, SYLD was 1.72 compared to the category 2.26. Price to sales, SYLD's multiple was 0.98, whereas the category was 1.48. For price to cash flow, SYLD was 7.78, and the category was 10.93. For price to free cash flow, SYLD's multiple was 10.85, while the category's reading was 23.89. SYLD also offered a higher 30-day SEC yield of 1.39% compared to the category's yield of 0.88%. Finally, remember, since inception through the end of April 2021, SYLD returned 215.22% on a cumulative basis. In comparison, the Morningstar Midcap Value category returned just 117.93% over the same period. Standardized performance as of the end of March 2021 will be covered toward the end of the podcast. For us, this is a clear illustration of the power of a shareholder yield approach to markets: larger returns, lower valuations, and a higher yield. Bottom line, yes, this is a challenging market for income investors, but it doesn't have to be an impossible market. We feel income, growth, and good values are still out there. You just have to know where to find them. So at this point, you're familiar with one of our three ETFs that features the shareholder yield approach. That's the Cambry Shareholder Yield ETF with the ticker SYLD, which we've referenced a lot so far. But as mentioned earlier, we have three unique ETFs offering the shareholder yield approach. The difference between the fund lies in which global markets the funds are focused on. SYLD focuses exclusively on stocks in the United States. For non-US developed country markets, we offer the Cambria Foreign Shareholder Yield ETF with the ticker symbol FYLD. As the end of April 2021, FYLD offered a lower valuation level than its Morningstar category in nearly every single metric. Price to earnings, the multiple was 13.46 for FYLD and the category 14.89. For price to book, FYLD was 1.21 compared to the category of 1.28. Price to sales, FYLD was 0.98 while the category is 0.8. For price to cash flow, FYLD's multiple was 6.7, whereas the category was 6.74. For price to free cash flow, FYLD was 12.3 in the category 8.74. So FYLD traded at lower valuation than most of these metrics and offered a much higher 30-day SEC yield, 3.52% versus the category average of 1.38%. As for emerging markets around the globe, we offer the Cambria Emerging Shareholder Yield ETF with the ticker symbol EYLD. As of the end of April 2021, EYLD offered a lower valuation level than its Morningstar category in every single metric. Price earnings, it was 10.52, while the category is 21.64. For price to book, EYLD multiple was 1.39 compared to the category of 2.9. Price to sales, EYLD multiple is 0.64 while the category was 2.67. Price to cash flow, EYLD's multiple is 6.49 while the category was 13.47. For price to free cash flow, EYLD's multiple was 12.88. versus the category of 31.64. EYLD carried its lower valuation and offered a higher 30-day SEC yield of 4.44% compared to the category yield of 0.67%. We believe this illustrates how a shareholder yield approach is powerful, even across borders. Now, shifting gears a bit, for any listeners who are curious about the construction of this type of fund, in short, we begin with a broad universe of stocks, suitable market capitalizations that also pass liquidity and price requirements. Next, we select the stocks in the top 20% of that universe by yields across dividends and net buybacks. We then apply a valuation ensemble across a number of factors. Some are the ones that we discussed previously. We referenced five of them earlier in the podcast. We further shrink the universe by isolating the top shareholder yield stocks, registering high debt retirement with low financial leverage. Those are both quality metrics. We also seek to avoid value traps by doing a final sort based on momentum indicators. It can be an exhausting process, but we believe it's worth it. As we wrap up, yes, this is a challenging market, but you don't have to sacrifice income or growth or a reasonable valuation. You just have to know where to look to find those traits. For more information, you can visit CambriaFunds.com or reach out to us at 310-683-5500. Thanks for listening and good investing.
Disclosure. Here's some required standardized performance for your reference. As of March 31st, 2021, over the past year, SYLD's net asset value and its market price returned 141.30% and 143.94% respectively, while the S&P 500 index returned 56.35%. Over the three-year period, SYLD's net asset value and its market price returned 19.36% and 19.78% respectively, while the S&P 500 index returned 16.78%. Over the five-year period, SYLD's net asset value and its market price returned 17.95% and 18.20% respectively, while the S&P 500 index returned 16.29%. Over the 10-year period, the S&P 500 index returned 13.91%. Since the fund's inception on May 14th, 2013, SYLD's net asset value and its market price returned 15 and 15.15% respectively, while the S&P 500 index returned 14.21%. As of March 31st, 2021, over the past year, FYLD's net asset value and its market price returned 70.17% and 72.26% respectively, while the MSCI EAFE index returned 45.15%. Over the three-year period, FYLD's net asset value and its market price returned 6.14% and 5.95% respectively, while the MSCI EAFE index returned 6.54%. Over the five-year period, FYLD's net asset value and its market price returned 9.84% and 10.10% respectively, while the MSCI EAFE index returned 9.37%. Over the 10-year period, the MSCI EAFE index returned 6.02%. Since the fund's inception on December 3rd, 2013, FYLD's net asset value and its market price returned 4.98% and 5.05% respectively, while the MSCI EAFE index returned 5.48%. As of March 31st, 2021, over the past year, EYLD's net asset value and its market price returned 75.55% and 76.33% respectively, while the MSCI Emerging Markets Index returned 58.92%. Over the three-year period, EYLD's net asset value and its market price returned 6.67%, while the MSCI Emerging Markets Index returned 6.87%. Over the five-year period, the MSCI Emerging Markets Index returned 3.24%. Over the 10-year period, the MSCI Emerging Markets Index returned 3.63%. Since the fund's inception on July 14th, 2016, EYLD's net asset value and its market price returned 13.66% and 13.89%, respectively, while the MSCI Emerging Markets Index returned 12.42%. Short-term performance may not be indicative of long-term performance. Actual results may vary. Past performance does not guarantee future results. The investment return and principal value of an investment will fluctuate so that an investor's shares, when redeemed, may be worth more or less than their original cost, and current performance may be lower or higher than the performance quoted. The closing market price is the midpoint between the bid and ask price as of the close of the exchange. Since the fund shares typically do not trade in the secondary market until several days after the fund's inception, for the period from inception to the first day of secondary market trading in shares, the NAV of the fund is used to calculate the total market returns. Shares are bought and sold at market price or closing price, not net asset value, NAV, are not individually redeemed from the fund. Market price returns are based on the midpoint of the bid-ask spread at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, when NAV is normally determined, and do not represent the return you would receive if you traded at other times. Buying and selling shares will result in brokerage commissions. Brokerage commissions will reduce returns. To determine if this fund is an appropriate investment for you, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risk factors, charges, and expenses before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus, which may be obtained by calling 855-383-4636, also known as ETF Info, or visiting our website at cambriafunds.com. Read the prospectus carefully before investing or sending money. The Cambria ETFs are distributed by ALPS Distributors, 1290 Broadway, Suite 1000, Denver, Colorado, 80203, which is not affiliated with Cambria Investment Management, LP, the investment advisor for the fund. A few definitions. Shiller-Cape ratio. The cyclically adjusted price-to-earnings ratio is the price of a security of an index divided by the average inflation-adjusted earnings over the past 10 years. The S&P 500 Index. An index of 500 U.S. stocks chosen for market size, liquidity, and industry grouping, among other factors. The S&P 500 Index is designed to be a leading indicator of U.S. equities and is meant to reflect the risk-return characteristics of the large-cap universe. NASDAQ Composite, a broad-based market index that includes over 3,000 of the equities listed on the NASDAQ Stock Exchange. Shareholder yield, generally defined as an equity security's total yield from the combination of dividend yield and buyback yield. Dividend, a payment from a corporation to a shareholder. Buyback, the process of a corporation buying back shares of its stock. Price-to-earnings ratio, or P/E ratio, is the ratio of a company's stock to the company's per-share earnings. Price-to-book ratio is the ratio of a company's stock price to the company's book value. Price-to-sales ratio is the ratio of a company's stock price to the company's revenue. Price-to-cash flow ratio is the ratio of a company's stock price to the company's per-share cash flow. Price-to-free cash flow ratio is the ratio of a company's stock price to the company's per-share free cash flow. Enterprise value to EBITDA is the ratio of a company's enterprise value, a measure of company's total value, to the company's earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization. 30-day SEC yield, a standard yield calculation developed by the U.S. SEC that is based on the most recent 30-day period. ETFs are subject to commission costs each time a buy or sell is executed. Depending on the amount of trading activity, the low cost of ETFs may be outweighed by the commissions and related trading costs. Diversification may not protect you against market loss. There is no guarantee that the fund will achieve its investment goal. Investing involves risk, including possible loss of principal. The Cambria Shareholder Yield ETF is actively managed. The Cambria Foreign Shareholder Yield ETF is actively managed. The Cambria Emerging Shareholder Yield ETF is actively managed. On June 1st, 2020, the Cambria Shareholder Yield ETF and the Cambria Foreign Shareholder Yield ETF changed its investment objective and investment strategy. The funds also changed from being passively managed to actively managed on that date. On July 1st, 2020, the Cambria Emerging Shareholder Yield ETF changed its investment objective and investment strategy. The fund also changed from being passively managed to actively managed on that date. There is no guarantee that the fund will achieve its investment goal. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. High-yielding stocks are often speculative, high-risk investments. The underlying holdings of the fund may be levered, which will expose the holdings to higher volatility and may accelerate the impact of any losses. These companies can be paying out more than they can support and may reduce their dividends or stop paying dividends at any time, which could have a material adverse effect on the stock price of these companies and the fund performance. International investing may involve risk of capital from unfavorable fluctuations in currency values, from the differences in generally accepted accounting principles, or from economic or political instability in other nations. Emerging markets involved heightened risks related to the same factors, as well as increased volatility and lower trading volume. Investments in small companies typically exhibit higher volatility. Narrowly focused funds typically exhibit higher volatility. 2021 Morningstar, all rights reserved. The information contained herein, one, is proprietary to Morningstar and or its content providers. Two, may not be copied or distributed. And three, is not warranted to be accurate, timely, or complete. Neither Morningstar nor its content providers are responsible for any damages or losses arising from any use of this information. Past performance is no guarantee of future results.